Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, are we ready to go?
Come on, come on, come on. Big show today.
You set? Thumbs up? Level set? All right, yeah? Yeah, yeah, don't worry. When the mic is hot, the talent is ready. Yes. And the mic certainly is hot. Not officially, but it's warming. Let's put it that way, right? Okay, put it in the books now. 136, episode 136. And, oh, yep. Need the three S's today. Big show today. Three S's. Star, smile, and of course, strong. All right, here we go. Ready? Three, two, one. Hey, it's Elton Jim Toronto, and this is Captain Podtastic. Hey, it's Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. Right here at WGNplus.com. A new episode is posted every Monday for your podcasting pleasure, for your bountiful binge-worthiness. And I must say, I've always thanked everyone for scrolling or for swiping or for clicking on the podcast, but I have been reminded by a loyal listener, Roberta, who reminds me that people also download via iTunes and some other platforms. So yes, I will not forget that from now on. There is swiping. There is clicking. There is, what else is there? Clicking down. I just said the other three, but I will add downloading. You are not forgotten. Thank you for whatever it is you do. Click, swipe, download, whatever you do. Thank you for doing it on a regular basis here for Elton Jim's Captain Podtastic. And I'm looking forward to today's podcast. I'm not going to waste much time. Not that I ever waste time, but I'm going to get right to the point today, because what I wanted to do today is sort of give a little Christmas gift to all my loyal podcast listeners. You guys have been, as I said before, very loyal, and I really do appreciate it. And so I thought I would have a little fun today, as we always do, but maybe even a little more fun, and offer you a nice little gift in the way of a radio play. And so one of my favorite one of my favorite holiday Christmas stories is A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. And so I thought it might be fun to do a one-man radio play and do the entire story for you and do all the voices, male, female, adult, children, supernatural, and human. They're all there in this story of A Christmas Carol and, of course, of Ebenezer Scrooge. And I heard Patrick Stewart, the actor from Star Trek Next Generation, Captain Picard. He did this several years ago. He actually did it on stage as well, but he also recorded it. And I always thought it was so cool, and I always wanted to do it. I've done it on stage as an actor two or three times. I've played different characters. I've played Bob Cratchit. I've played Marley's Ghost. I've played the Ghost of Christmas Present. I've played Mr. Fezziwig. I've also done a stage reading where I was also Marley's Ghost. And I have done this on the radio a couple of years ago, but it was at like 2 a.m, so I'm not sure how many people heard it. So I thought that this way I would record it as a podcast. It would always be there, and maybe every year you can pull this out, and it might help you get into the mood. I think it's the perfect background for decorating your tree or decorating the house, or you're just kicking back on the holidays. You need some background noise and some mood enhancements. You've got your eggnog, your hot toddy, your favorite drink, your appetizer, whatever it may be. And it might be fun if you're just kicking back with, you know, either before the festivities on Christmas or after the festivities or, you know, even on New Year's Eve day, whatever it is, or within the next, you know, week or so, or even before Christmas, now that you will have this forever. But it might be a nice little Christmas mood enhancer for you. I hope it is. I really enjoy this story so much, and I'm going to really enjoy doing this for you. And so I hope you will accept it in the spirit of which it is given, as a thank you to all the listeners out there. And hopefully you will enjoy it, and maybe it will become an official Christmas tradition in your home and on your device, whichever device that may be. But I just wanted to wish you all a happy holiday season, a Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year. And this is my Christmas gift to you. A Christmas Carol in Prose, Being a Ghost Story of Christmas, by Charles Dickens. I have endeavored in this ghostly little book to raise the ghost of an idea which shall not put my readers out of humor with themselves, with each other, with the season, or with me. May it haunt their houses pleasantly, and no one wish to lay it. Their faithful friend and servant, C.D. December 1843. Stave 1. Molly's Ghost. Molly was dead to begin with. There's no doubt about that. The register of his burial was signed by the clergyman, the clerk, the undertaker, and the chief mourner. Scrooge signed it, and Scrooge's name was good upon exchange for anything he chose to put his hand to. Old Molly was as dead as a doornail. Scrooge knew he was dead? Of course he did. Scrooge and Molly were partners for, oh, I don't know how many years. Ah, but he was a tight-fisted hand at the grindstone with Scrooge. A squeezing, wrenching, grasping, scraping, clutching, covetous old sinner. And, once upon a time, of all the good days in the year, on Christmas Eve. Scrooge sat busy in his counting house, a grim, cheerless place, if there ever was one. The door of Scrooge's counting house was open that he might keep an eye on his clerk, Bob Cratchit, who, in a cold and dismal little cell beyond, worked on his ledgers. 20, 21, 22. Shepherds are tidings of the same. 23, 26, 29. 9 carry the 2. But by his name. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. 11, 13, 17, 7. Bob Cratchit! Yes, Mr. Scrooge?
Stop that infernal caterwauling!
Yes, sir. 9, 15, 17, 21, carry the 1.
Each of and brotherhood. All the impudence! Singing their idiotic Christmas carols at my very door! Go on! Get away from my door! You go somewhere else and bellow your blasted carols, or I'll give you in charge.
Sorry, Governor. It's an old custom at Christmas time, you know.
Yes, and I don't want any of your old customs. Take your fellow fools away and go away. Christmas. Bah.
Right, sir. Merry Christmas anyway, sir.
Crash it.
Yes, sir.
Now, you get that old letter from Higgins and Blackhorn. And then I want you to finish posting this ledger. And after that, you can pop over to Fothergill's and tell Hethman Fothergill that he come after the severance shilling, the 17 shillings and sixpence he's owed me since Mickleman's. And tell him that I shall have a constable over there if he doesn't pay up at once.
Mr. Fothergill's wife has been ill, sir.
Do I care about his wife? I want my 17 and six.
I just thought it being Christmas, sir.
Christmas? Christmas? You mention that word to me once more, Bob Cratchit, and I'll... Merry Christmas, Uncle! Merry Christmas, Bob!
Merry Christmas, Mr. Fred.
God save you, Uncle! Bah! Humbug. Christmas a humbug, Uncle? Now, I'm sure you don't mean that. I mean just that. Exactly that. Merry Christmas. What right have you to be merry? What reason have you? You're poor enough. Well, right you have to be... What right do you have to be dismal about Christmas, Uncle? You're rich enough. Ah. Now, Uncle, don't be cross. What else can I be when I live in such a world of fools as this Merry Christmas? Out upon Merry Christmas. What's Christmas time to you but a time for paying bills without money? A time for finding yourself a year older but not an hour richer? A time for balancing your books and having every item in them around a dozen or months presented dead against you? If I could work my will, every idiot who goes about with the Merry Christmas on his lips should be boiled with his own pudding and buried with a stake of holly around his heart. He should! Uncle! Nephew! Keep Christmas your own way and let me keep it in mine.
Keep it?
But you don't keep it at all, Uncle! Well, then let me leave it alone, then. What do you want? A Christmas gift, no doubt? I came to wish you a Merry Christmas, Uncle. Merry Christmas. Much good may Christmas do you. Much good it has ever done you. There are many things from which I might have derived good, by which I have not profited, I dare say. Christmas among the rest. But I am sure I have always thought of Christmas time, when it has come round, apart from the veneration due to its sacred name and origin, if anything, belonging to it can be apart from that as a good time. A kind, forgiving, charitable, pleasant time. The only time I know of in the long calendar of the year when men and women seem to, by one consent, to open their shut-up hearts freely and to think of people below them as if they really were fellow passengers to the grave and not another race of creatures bound on other journeys. And therefore, Uncle, though it has never put a scrap of gold or silver in my pocket, I believe that it has done me good, and it will do me good. And so I say, God bless it. Oh, God bless Christmas! Hurrah! Let me hear another sound out of you over there, Bob Cratchit. And you'll keep your Christmas by losing your situation.
Yes, sir.
And as to you, nephew, I wonder you don't go into Parliament. You talk enough nonsense. Oh, don't be angry, Uncle. Come, dine with us tomorrow. Will you come see us? Oh, I'll see you, all right. I'll see you in hell. But why? Why? Why did you get married?
Because I fell in love.
Because you fell in love. Good afternoon. Uncle, you never come to see me before that happened. Why give it as a reason for not coming now? Good afternoon. Uncle, I want nothing from you. I ask nothing of you. Why can't we be friends? Good afternoon. I am sorry, with all my heart, to find you so resolute. We have never had any quarrel to which I have been a party, but I have made the trial in homage to Christmas, and I'll keep my Christmas humor to the last. So, a Merry Christmas, Uncle! Good afternoon. And a Happy New Year! Good afternoon! Bah! Humbug. Hello, Bob. How is Mrs. Cratchit and all the small assorted Cratchits?
They're very good, sir.
All champing at the bit, waiting for Christmas to begin, huh?
Oh, yes, sir. All very eager.
And the little boy, the lame one, what is his name? Tim?
Yes, Tim, sir.
Ah, that's right. And how is he?
Well, in high hopes he's getting better, sir.
Ah, good. Well, a Merry Christmas to you, Bob Cratchit.
Same to you, sir, I'm sure.
Thank you. Now, this nonsense, this twaddle, this talking of Christmas and not two sixpences to jangle together in their trouser pockets. Hey there! You, Bob Cratchit, come here. What are you doing there?
I'm only putting a bit more coal in the fire, Mr. Scrooge. Seeing it's so cold in here.
You put that coal back in the scuttle. A fire, a fire indeed. I can tell you, if you use coal at that rate, you and I will soon be parting company, Mr. Bob Cratchit. You understand that? There's many a young fellow that would like your situation, you know.
I'm sorry, sir. My fingers were getting a little stiff with the cold.
Well, then put on your mittens. Someone at the door. Go see who it is.
Yes, sir.
A good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
This is the firm of Scrooge and Marley?
Yes, sir.
We should like to see the head of the firm, if we may.
Oh, very good, sir.
What is it?
Two gentlemen to see you, Mr. Scrooge.
Huh? We have the pleasure of addressing Mr. Scrooge or Mr. Marley.
Mr. Scrooge, Marley has been dead these 7 years tonight.
Yes, I am Scrooge.
Well, Mr. Scrooge, at this season of the year, it's only fitting that we who are more fortunate shall rise and raise a fund to buy the poor some meat and drink and means of warmth. You may not believe in it, sir, but many thousands are now in want of common necessities. Yes, and thousands are in want of the simplest of comforts.
And there are no prisons?
Well, there are
plenty of prisons, sir. And the workhouses, they're still in operation, I trust? I wish I could say they are not, sir. But they are, yes. The treadmill and the poor law are in full vigor, then? Both are very busy, sir. Ah, ha-ha. Well, I'm glad to hear that. I was afraid from what you said at first that something had occurred to stop them in their useful course. No, sir. All these institutions that you mention are flourishing, but it's nevertheless true that some additional provisionings for the poor and the destitute must be made. Bah! A few of us upon charge are endeavoring to raise such a fund, you see, and, well, what shall we put you down for? Nothing. Oh, I see. You wish to remain anonymous. They wish to be left alone. I don't make merry myself at Christmas time, and I can't afford to help make a lot of idle people merry either. I help to support the establishments that take care of the poor. They cost enough. Let those who are badly off go there. Many can't go there, sir. And many would rather die. Well, then my advice to them is to do so. And decrease the surplus population. Besides, only your word for it, and that is always so. It's the truth, Mr. Scrooge. Well, so be it then. It's not my business. It's enough for a man to understand his own business and not to interfere with other people's. Mine occupies me constantly. Good afternoon, gentlemen. We quite understand, Mr. Scrooge. Good afternoon. Cratchit! Show these gentlemen out.
Yes, sir. This way, sir. Please. Sir, I couldn't help but overhearing. I should like to continue with Tuppence.
Cratchit! Yes, sir.
It isn't much, but it's all I can afford. But there are others in worse situation than I am.
You're a generous fellow. I wish I might say so of your employer. Cratchit!
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
Cratchit!
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yes, sir.
Close the door!
Yes, sir. 24, 31. One carried the three. A new scarlet tipper for Tiny Tim. A comb for Martha. A 33, three and carried the three. A hair ribbon for Belinda. 4, 7, 12, 15.
Cratchit!
54.
Yes, sir. It's not too late to have you go to Farfigil's. You'll be closed up for Christmas like all those others. We may as well close up the place now.
Yes, sir. It is getting a little dark. Hard to see the figures.
Then I suppose you'll want the entire day off tomorrow.
If it's quite convenient, sir.
Well, it's not convenient. It's not fair, either. But I suppose I can't do anything about it. If I was to stop half a crown of your wages, you'd think yourself very ill-will or ill-used. I'll be bound.
Well, sir, I...
Yes, but you don't think me ill-used when I pay a day's wages for no work.
It's only once a year, sir.
Once a year? Once a year, indeed. A fine excuse for picking a man's pocket every 25th of December. But I suppose there's no good talking. You must have the whole day. Well, see that you are here all the earlier the next morning. You understand?
Oh, I will, sir. I will indeed.
A good night, sir, and
Merry Christmas.
Bah! Merry Christmas! Bah!
The office was closed in a tinkling with Bob Cratchit, and with the long lens of his white comforter dangling below his waist, for he boasted no gray coat, went down a slide on Cornhill 20 miles in honor of it being Christmas, and then ran down home to Camden Town as hard as he could pelt to play with his family at Blind Man's Bluff. Scrooge, on the other hand, took his melancholy dinner in his usual melancholy tavern, and having read all the newspapers and spent rest of the evening with his banker's book, went to his dismal house. Darkness is cheap. And Scrooge liked it. The yard was so dark that even Scrooge, who knew its every stone, had to grope with his hands through the fog and the frost just to find the door. Scrooge walked through his rooms to see that all was right. Sitting room, bedroom, lumber room, all as they should be. Nobody under the table, nobody under the sofa, nobody under the bed, nobody in the closet. Closed the door. He locked himself in. He double-locked himself in. He took off his cravat, put on his dressing slippers and his nightcap, and sat down before the fire to take his gruel.
Merry Christmas. Humbug. It's all humbug. What I need is a good night's.
What's that?
What in blazes is... Someone's in this place. But the door is locked. It's double locked. It's coming. Something's coming closer. I don't believe it. It's humbug still. Ebenezer Scrooge. Ebenezer Scrooge. How now? What do you want of me?
Much.
Who are you?
Ask me who I was.
Who were you then?
In life, I was your partner, Jacob Marley.
Humbug.
You don't believe in me?
No, I don't.
What evidence would you have of my reality beyond that of your senses?
I don't know.
Why do you doubt your senses?
Because a little thing affects them. A slight disorder of the stomach makes them cheat. You may be an undigested bit of beef, or a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese, a fragment of an underdone potato. There's more of gravy than grave about you, whatever you are.
Mercy! Mercy, what dreadful apparition! Why do you trouble me? Man of the worldly mind,
do you believe in me or not?
Oh, I do, I do, I must, but why do spirits walk the earth? Why do they come to me?
It is required of every man that the spirit within him should walk abroad among his fellow men and travel far and wide. And if that spirit goes not forth in life, it is condemned to do so after death. It is doomed to wander through the world, oh, woe is me, and witness what it cannot share, but might have shared on earth, and turn to happiness. You are fettered with a chain. Tell me why. I wear the chain I forged in life. I made it link by link and yard by yard. I girded it on my own free will, and of my own free will I wore it. Is its pattern strange to you? Or would you know the weight and length of the strong coil you bear yourself? It was as heavy and as long as this 7 Christmas Eves ago. You have labored on it since. Oh, it is a ponderous chain! Jacob! Oh, Jacob! Tell me more. Speak comfort to me, Jacob. I have none to give. It comes from other regions, Ebenezer Scrooge, and is conveyed by other ministers to other kinds of men. Nor can I tell you what I would. A very little more is all permitted me. I cannot rest. I cannot stay. I cannot linger anywhere. My spirit never walked beyond our counting house. Mark me! In life, my spirit never roved beyond the narrow limits of our money-changing hole. And weary journeys lie before me. You must have been very slow about it, Jacob. Slow? 7 years dead. Traveling all the time. The whole time. No rest, no peace, incessant torture of remorse. You travel fast, on the wings of the wind. You might have got over a great quantity of ground in 7 years. Captive, bound, and double-ironed, not to know that ages of incessant labor by immortal creatures for this earth must pass into eternity before the good of which it is susceptible is all developed. Not to know that any Christian spirit working kindly in its little sphere, whatever it may be, will find its mortal life too short for its vast means of usefulness. Not to know that no space of regret can make amends for one life's opportunities misused. Yet, such was I. Oh, such was I. But you were always a good man of business, Jacob. Business! Mankind was my business. The common welfare was my business. Charity, mercy, forbearance, and benevolence were all my business. The dealings of my trade were but a drop of water in the comprehensive ocean of my business. At this time of the year, I suffer most. Why did I walk through crowds of fellow beings with my eyes turned down and never raise them to that blessed star which led the wise men to a poor abode? Were there no poor homes to which its light would have conducted me? Marley, I hear me, for my time is nearly gone. Oh, I will, I will.
but don't be hard upon me. Don't be flowery, Jacob. How is it that I appear before you in shape that you can see? I may not tell. I have sat invisible beside you many and many a day. That is no light part of my penance. I am here tonight to warn you that you have yet a chance and hope of escaping my fate. A chance and hope of procuring Ebenezer. You will be haunted by three spirits. Is that a chance and hope you mentioned, Jacob? It is. I think I'd rather not. Without their visits, you cannot hope to shun the path that I tread. Expect the first tomorrow when the bell tolls one. Well, couldn't I take them all at once and then have it over, Jacob? Expect the second on the next night at the same hour. The third upon the next night when the last stroke of three has ceased to vibrate. Look to see me no more. And look that, for your own sake, you remember what has passed between us. Marley! Jacob Marley! The apparition walked backward from him, and at every step it took, the window raised itself a little, so that when the spectre reached it, it was wide open. It beckoned Scrooge to approach, which he did. When they were within two paces of each other, Marley's ghost held up his hand, warning him to come no nearer. Scrooge stopped. Not so much in obedience as in surprise and fear, for on the raising of the hand he became sensible of confused noises in the air, incoherent sounds of lamentation and regret, wailings inexpressibly sorrowful and self-accusatory. The spectre, after listening for a moment, joined in the mournful dirge and floated out upon the bleak dark night. Scrooge followed to the window, desperate in his curiosity. He looked out. The air was filled with phantoms, wandering hither and thither in restless haste and moaning as they went. Every one of them wore chains like Marley's ghost. None were free. Many had been personally known to Scrooge in their lives. He had been quite familiar with one old ghost in a white waistcoat with a monstrous iron safe attached to his ankle, who cried piteously at being unable to assist a wretched woman with an infant, whom it saw below, upon a doorstep. The misery with them was all clearly that they sought to interfere for good in human matters and had lost the power forever. Whether these creatures faded into the mist or mist enshrouded them, he could not tell. But they and their spirit voices faded together. And the night as it had been when he walked home. Scrooge closed the window and examined the door by which the ghost had entered. It was double locked, as he had locked it with his own hands, and the bolts were undisturbed. He tried to say humbug, but stopped in the first syllable. And being, from the emotion he had undergone, or the fatigues of the day, or his glimpse of the invisible world, or the dull conversation with the ghost, or the lateness of the hour, much in need of repose, Scrooge went straight to bed and fell asleep upon the instant. Stave 2, the first of three spirits. Scrooge awoke. He was lying in his bed, fully dressed. Suddenly, the curtains of his bed were drawn aside, and Scrooge found himself face to face with the unearthly visitor, who drew then close to him, as I am to you now, and am standing in the spirit at your elbow. It was a strange figure, like a child, yet not so like a child as like an old person. Its hair, which hung about its neck and down its back, was white as if with age, and yet the face had not a wrinkle in it, and the tenderness bloomer was on the skin. But the strangest thing about it was that from the crown of its head there was sprung a bright, clear jet of light, by which all this was visible, and which was doubtless the occasion of its using. In its duller moments, a great extinguisher for a cap which it now held under its arm. Even this, though, when Scrooge looked at it, was, with increasing steadiness, was not its strangest quality, for its belt sparkled and glittered, now in one part and now in another. And what was light one instant, at one time, was dark, so that the figure itself fluctuated in its distinctness, being now a thing with one arm, and now with one leg, and now with 20 legs, and now a pair of legs without a head, and now a head without a body, of which dissolving parts no outline would be visible in the dense gloom wherein they melted away. And in the very wonder of this, it would be itself again, distinct and clear as ever.
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Who's that?
Ebenezer Scrooge. I have come for you.
Oh, you... are you the spirit whose coming was foretold me?
I am that spirit.
What are you?
I am the ghost of Christmas past.
Long past?
No. Your past.
What do you want of me? What brings you here to haunt me?
Your welfare, Ebenezer Scrooge. Rise and walk with me.
No. Not out of the window. I can't do that. I'll fall down. I am not a spirit. I'm a mortal. I'll fall.
Bear but a touch of my hand upon your heart, and you shall be upheld in more than this.
Come,
follow me.
Where are we? What's become of the city? Yeah. Snow's upon the ground. Where are we?
These are the shadows of things that have been. You recognize this countryside?
Oh, well, I know every inch of it. Every rock, every tree.
And that bleak building over there?
Oh, that building. I was a boy there. Yes, I went to school in that horrible place.
Do you recollect that path?
Yes. I could walk it blindfolded.
Strange you should forget it so many years. Come, let us go closer. Look through the window into that cold, barren room. What do you see, Ebenezer Scrooge?
I see a boy.
A solitary child, neglected by his family. Alone.
Yes, I see. I know that boy. Oh, I was so lonely. Poor boy.
Your lip is trembling, Scrooge. And what is that on your cheek?
What? No, it's nothing. It's nothing at all. I wish I... Ah, but it's too late now.
What's the matter?
Nothing. The waifs came by my door singing Christmas carols last night, and there was a
a boy like that among them. A poor, pale, little, thin boy in a ragged coat. I should like to have given him something, that's all.
Is that all?
Come, Ebenezer Scrooge. Let us see another Christmas.
I see my old school again, but a few years later. Spirit, is that a young girl skipping toward me?
Oh, it's Fan! Ebenezer! Oh, Fan!
I've missed you.
Dear, dear brother. I've come to bring you home, dear brother. Home again, home again. Chittery jig. Home, little Fan? Yes, home, good and all. Home forever and ever. Father is so much kinder than he used to be. Our home's like heaven. For you, perhaps, but not for me. He doesn't know me, or even what I look like. Same as I hardly know you. Oh, but he spoke so gently to me one dear night when I was going to bed, that I was not afraid to ask him once more if you might come home. And he said yes, that you should, and sent me in a coach to bring you. And you're to be man. You are never to come back here. But first, we're to be together all Christmas long, and have the merriest time in the world.
Oh, God bless you. Bless you, dear Fan.
Always a delicate creature, whom a breath might have withered. But she had a large heart.
So she had.
She died a woman, as had, I think, children?
One child.
True. Your nephew, Fred, correct?
Yes. Yes, my nephew. Yes, Spirit.
He visited you earlier today, did he not?
Yes, he did. What of it?
Come. We have another Christmas to see. Do you know this place, Ebenezer Scrooge?
Oh, know it! Know it! Why, this is the old counting house where I was apprentice. And it's my old master, bless his heart. Old Fezziwig. Oh, my master alive again and host of one of his Christmas parties. Listen to him. Hi-ho there, Ebenezer! Dick! Oh, and there's Dick Wilkins. Oh, poor Dick. Dear, dear, dear. Yes, and look, there's Mrs. Fezziwig herself, looking younger than any of them. And all the tables all loaded with roast and cider and mince pie and beer. Oh, what a jolly time we used to have.
That carefree young man with the light heart and a gay smile, do you recognize him?
Yes, 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 merciful heaven. How happy I was then. Yo-ho, boys! No more work tonight! Christmas Eve, Dick! Christmas, Ebenezer! Now let's have the shutters up! Before a man can say Jack Robinson! And let us make merry! A proper jig, my dears! A proper jig!
A small matter for old Fezziwig to make those silly folks so full of joy.
Small matter? Small indeed.
Isn't it? He has spent only a few pounds of your mortal money. Is that so much that he deserves praise?
Bah! It's not that. It's not that, Spirit. Old Fezziwig has the power to make us happy or unhappy, to make our service light or heavy. His power lies in words and looks, in those things so tiny that it's impossible to count them. The happiness he gives is quite as great as if it is a cost of it.
What's the matter?
Nothing, nothing, nothing at all, Spirit.
Something, I think.
No, no.
Speak.
Well, it's only just that I should like to be able to say a word or two to my clerk, Bob Cratchit, that's all.
Swing your partner, address the entire bow and curtsy, thread the needle. Oh, dear, a bit more mulled wine, and I'll be worse for wear tomorrow.
My time grows short, and we have yet another journey to make.
Where now?
Come. This is our last visit to the past, Ebenezer. Here in this little room with a fair young girl by your side. Do you recognize yourself, Ebenezer?
No. No. No, 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 no. Spare me this.
You're older now. A man in the prime of life. Your face has begun to weather signs of care and avarice. Your eyes are greedy. The eager, restless eyes of a miser.
No! 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 Please!
She knows it, too. That girl by your side. There are tears in her eyes. It matters little, Ebenezer, to you. Very little, I know that.
Belle, have I changed towards you?
When we were engaged, we were both poor.
Was it better then? Better to be poor?
Better to at least be happy. You've changed. You were another man then.
I was a boy. You blame me because I've grown wiser? Have I ever tried to break our engagement?
In words? No, never.
Then in what, then?
In a changed nature. In an altered spirit. In everything that made my love of any value in your sight. So, I release you from your promise.
But Belle!
Oh, at first it may cause you pain to lose me. A very brief pain. But soon it will dim, like a half-remembered dream, an unprofitable dream. And you will be glad to be awake from such a dream. May you be happy in your life that you have chosen, Ebenezer. For the love of him you once were.
It's enough! Show me no more! Take me home!
These were the shadows of things that may have been. That they are what they are. Do not blame me.
No! No! No more!
One shadow more. Come. Do you see this man, Ebenezer Scrooge? This man may and might have been you. And the woman beside him, your wife. And that girl might have been your daughter, Ebenezer Scrooge. She might have called you father. She might have been a springtime in the haggard winter of your life.
Spirit, let me go. Show me no more.
Listen now while they speak, Ebenezer.
Belle, I saw an old friend of yours today.
Who was it?
Guess.
How can I? It's, oh, I know. Mr. Scrooge.
Mr. Scrooge it was. I passed his office window. It wasn't shuttered. There was a candle inside, so I couldn't help but seeing him. And his partner, Marley, lies at the point of death, I hear. And there Scrooge sat, all alone. Quite alone in the world,
I do believe.
Spirit. Spirit. I can't bear any more. Leave me. Haunt me no more. Take me back. Take me back.
Stave 3. The second of three spirits. From the stroke of one, Scrooge awakened suddenly and sat in bolt upright in his own bed. He remembered the words of Marley's ghost and wondered from which direction the second spectre would appear. At that moment, nothing between a baby and a rhinoceros would have astonished him very much. Now, being prepared for almost anything, he was not by any means prepared for nothing. And consequently, when no shape appeared, he was taken with a violent fit of trembling. 5 minutes, 10 minutes, quarter of an hour went by, yet nothing came. Then, as he sat in his bed, he became aware gradually of a great blaze of ruddy light. It seemed to shine upon him from the adjoining room. He got up softly and shuffled in his slippers to the door. It was his own sitting room, no doubt about that. But it had gone a surprising transformation. The walls and ceiling were so hung with the living green that it looked a perfect grove, and every part of which bright glimmering berries glistened. And such a mighty blaze went roaring up the chimney, and had never been known in Scrooge's time for many, many a winter season gone. Heaped up on the floor to form a kind of throne were turkeys, geese, game, poultries, great joints of meat, sucking pigs, long wreaths of sausages, mince pie, plum puddings, barrels of oysters, red-hot chestnuts, and seething bowls of punch. It made the chamber dim with their delicious steam. In easy state upon his couch, there sat a jolly giant, glorious to see, who bore a glowing torch in the shape not unlike Plenty's horn, and held it up high to shed its light on Scrooge, as he came peeping round the door.
Come in, Ebenezer Scrooge, and know me better, man.
You?
I am the ghost of Christmas Present. Look upon me. You've never seen the likes of me before.
You're different from the other spirit. You're tall, almost a giant. And that great torch you carry,
its light falls into the homes of rich and poor alike.
Spirit, take me where you will. Last time, I went against my will and learned a lesson which is working now. If you have anything to teach me, let me profit by it.
Touch my robe, Ebenezer Scrooge. Touch my robe. Your nephew Fred's home is nicely appointed by the looks of it. He looks to be a fine man, Ebenezer. Ah! A group of revelers. Let's listen in, shall we?
And he said that Christmas was a humbug. As I live, he believed it, too. Oh, more shame for him, Fred. I should very much like to meet your Uncle Fred. The droll way in which you portray him makes me curious.
Oh, he's a comical old fellow, that's the truth, and not so pleasant as he might be. However, his offenses carry their own punishment, and I have nothing to say against him.
I'm sure he is very rich, Fred. At least you always tell me so.
What of that, dear? His wealth is of no use to him. He don't do any good with it. He don't make himself comfortable with it. He hasn't the satisfaction of thinking that he is ever going to benefit us with it.
Well, I have no patience with him.
Nor I. Oh, I have. I feel sorry for him. I couldn't be angry with him if I tried. Who suffers by all his ill whims? Himself, always. Here, he takes into his head to dislike us, and he won't come to dine with us. What's the consequence? He don't lose much of a dinner. Indeed, I think he loses a very good dinner. Really, Fred, I think you're being awfully charitable. If that's so, it may be because my mother, God rest her saintly soul, was very fond of him. She loved him. The spirit glances at Scrooge. Oh, but go on, Fred. He never finishes what he begins to say. He is such a ridiculous fellow. I was only going to say that the consequences of his taking a dislike to us and not making merry with us is, well, I think that he loses some pleasant moments, which could do him no harm. I am sure he loses pleasanter companions when he can find in his own thoughts, either in his moldy old office or his dusty chambers. I mean to give him the same chance every year, whether he likes it or not, for I pity him. He may rail at Christmas till he dies, but he can't help thinking better of it. I defy him if he finds me going there in good temper year after year and saying, Uncle Scrooge, how are you? If it only puts him in the vein to leave his poor checkbook £50 something. I think I shook him yesterday. Oh, spirit. How long it's been since I've enjoyed a good fiddler and a fine punch. Music certainly soothes a savage beast, does it not, Scrooge? Oh, now, Topper, what's this game called? Yes and no? Fred, since you're the host, I'll go first. I've been warned not to trust you in your games, Topper. I think we should at least stay until the guests have departed. Now, Topper, what do I have to do? I'm afraid it cannot be done, Scrooge. Here is a new game. 1/2 hour spirit only once. All right. Well, I've got it. You've thought of something? Yes, fire away. Is it animal, vegetable, or mineral? Oh, no. It has to be a question. He can answer yes or no. Now, Fred, are you thinking of an animal? Yes. Living or dead? Is it living? Yes. A wild animal? Well, can it be found in London? Yes, I'm afraid so. Does it have... Or does it live in a menagerie? No, wouldn't go near it. Is it a horse? No. Is it an ass? No. Is it a cow? They can't hear you, Scrooge. Well, shut up. I'm having fun. Does it walk on the streets? Yes, it does. Is it some kind of rat? No. Maybe a pack rat. Wait, is it a man? Oh, I found it out. I know what it is, Fred. I know what it is. What is it? It's your Uncle Scrooge! Yes. Well, that's not fair. When I asked you, is it an ass, you should have answered yes. Well, he has given us plenty of merriment, I am sure, and it would be ungrateful not to drink to his health. So I say to Uncle Scrooge. Well, Uncle Scrooge, here's to him. And a happy Christmas and a happy new year to the old man, whatever he is. He wouldn't take it from me, but may he have it nevertheless. To Uncle Scrooge. Enough of this party. I'll have no more, spirit. I wish to leave.
We have another place to visit, Ebenezer.
Where have you brought me, spirit?
A humble dwellings on a humble street.
Well, it's miserable enough.
And yet, there is happiness here.
Who are these people? Who's that woman and the children?
These are the family of your clerk, Bob Cratchit.
Oh.
See his wife dressed in a twice-turned gown, but brave in ribbons, lay the table for their Christmas dinner. And there, assisting her, is their daughter Belinda and the young man with the fork and the stuffing. That's Master Peter Cratchit and the two little Cratchits. Listen, Scrooge.
Here's Martha, Mother.
Here's Peter, Mother. Hurrah!
Oh, children, children. Why, bless your heart, Martha. Martha, my dear, Merry Christmas to you. Merry Christmas, Mother. How late you are, my dear. Oh, and we'd have a deal of work to finish last night, and we had to clear away this morning.
Well, never mind, so as long as you are here now. Sit down before the fire, my dear, and have a warm, warm, Lord, bless you.
Where's Father? He's been to church with Tiny Tim. They'll be along directly. How is Tiny Tim, Mother? Any better at all?
Well, sometimes he is. And sometimes I think, oh, dear God, if anything should happen to Tiny Tim.
Mother, you mustn't even think of such a thing.
Here they come, Father and Tiny Tim. Here they come, Father and Tiny Tim.
Yes, there's Tiny Tim.
Merry Christmas, everybody. Martha, welcome, my dear.
Merry Christmas, Father and Tim. Merry Christmas, Martha. Oh, Tim, you darling.
Let me take your coat off, Tim.
Oh, Father, I'm so glad to be home.
And we're so glad to have you, Martha. And how did little Tim behave in church, Bob?
Oh, as good as gold and better.
Oh. I like church, Mother. Oh, they sang the nicest songs. I hope people saw me there.
Saw you there? And why, Tim?
Well, don't you see? Because I'm lame. And if they saw my crutch, it might be pleasant to them to remember upon Christmas Day who it was who made lame beggars walk and blind men see.
Oh, God bless you, my son.
Are we ready to eat, Mother?
Oh, come on now, let's eat.
Yes, children, we're all ready. Come now, take your places now and wait your turn. There's plenty of stuffing, dressing and plum pudding for all of you. Martha, can you take care of Tiny Tim? And see that he eats plenty. He must get strong and well. Now, sit down, everyone. And now, my dears, shall we say grace? Spirit.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven.
Tell me, will Tiny Tim live?
I see a vacant seat in the poor chimney corner, and a crutch without an owner, carefully preserved.
Oh, no, 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 no,
no, kind spirit. Say that he will be spared. Say he'll live. If these shadows remain unaltered by the future, Ebenezer, the child will die.
Amen. And now, my dears,
with such a dinner. A toast. A Merry Christmas to us all. And God bless us.
God bless us. Everyone.
And now, to Mr. Scrooge. I give you a toast to Mr. Scrooge, the founder of our feast.
The founder of our feast, indeed. Who pays you all of 15 shillings a week? I wish I had him here. I'd give him a piece of my mind to feast on, and I'd hope he'd have a good appetite for it.
My dear, the children, it's Christmas Day.
It should be Christmas Day, I am sure, on which one drinks to the health of such an odious, stingy, unfeeling man as Mr. Scrooge. Oh, you know he is, Bob. Nobody knows it better than you do, poor fellow.
My dear, Christmas Day. I'll drink to his health, for your sake and the day's, but not his. Long life to him. A Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. He'll be very happy and very merry, I have no doubt.
And I say, God bless him too, Mother, and everyone.
There was nothing of high mark in all this. There were not a handsome family, these Cratchits. They were not well-dressed. Their shoes were far from being waterproof. Their clothes were scanty and had known very likely the underside of a pawnbroker's. But they were happy, grateful, pleased with one another, and contented with the time. And when at last they faded, Scrooge had his eye upon them, and especially on Tiny Tim, until the last. Many calls Scrooge made that night with the ghost of Christmas present. Down among the miners they went to labor in the bowels of the earth, and out to sea among the sailors at their watch. Dark, ghostly figures in their several situations. Much they saw, and far they went, and many places they visited, but always with a happy end. The spirits stood beside sick beds, and they were cheerful on foreign lands, and they were close to home by poverty and rich, and in jail, in the hospital, in the almshouse, where vain men and their little brief authority had not made fast the door and barred the spirit out. The spirit still left its blessing. Ebenezer, watch and listen. It was a long night, and it was only a night. And it was a strange night, too. And while Scrooge remained unaltered in his outward form, the ghost grew older, clearly older.
My life upon this globe is very brief, Ebenezer. It ends tonight.
Tonight?
Tonight at midnight. Hark, the hour has come.
Forgive me if I am not justified in what I ask, but I see something strange and not belonging to yourself protruding from your skirt. Is it a foot or a claw?
It might be a claw, for the flesh there upon it. Look here.
From the foldings of its robe, it brought out two children, wretched, abject, frightful, hideous, miserable. They knelt down at its feet and clung upon the outside of its garment.
Oh, man, look here. Look, look down.
They were a boy and a girl, yellow, meager, ragged, scowling, wolfish, but prostrate, too, in their humility. They were graceful youth, and they filled their features out, touched them with their freshest tints. A stale and shriveled hand, like that of old age, had pinched and twisted them and pulled them into shreds, where angels might have sat enthroned, devils lurked and glared out menacing. No change, no degradation, no
perversion of humanity in any grade, through all the mysteries of wonderful creation, has monsters half so horrible and dread? Spirit, are they yours?
They are man's, and they cling to me, appealing from their fathers. This boy is ignorance, this girl is want. Beware them both, and all of their degree, but most of all, beware this boy. For on his brow I see that written which is doom, unless the writing is erased. Deny it. Slander those who tell it ye. Admit it for your factious purposes, and make it worse. And abide the end.
Have they no refuge or resource?
Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?
No, not yet. There are still things I wish to learn.
These you will learn from another spirit. Still another Ebenezer Scrooge.
Stay for the last of the spirits. Scrooge looked about him for the ghost that had vanished, and he had found himself once more in his bed, in his dressing gown and his nightcap on his head. He heard the clock strike, and then he remembered the prediction of old Jacob Marley, and lifting up his eyes, beheld the third spirit. A solemn phantom, shrouded in black, draped and hooded, coming towards him. Slowly and silently, like a mist along the ground. Oh, I know you. You are the ghost of Christmas yet to come. You'll show me shadows of the things that have not happened but will happen in the time before us. Answer me, spirit! Ghost of the future, I fear you more than any specter I have seen. Yet, I know your purpose is to do me good, as I hope to live to be another man from what I was. Will you speak to me? Lead on, spirit. The night's waning fast, and time is precious. Where are you taking me? Where are you taking me now, spirit? Oh, it's a common street in a low-browed beetling shop. What is there for me to learn? Who are these people?
What odds, then? What odds, Mrs. Dilber? Every person has a right to take care of themselves. He always did.
That's true indeed. No man more so.
Then why? Why? Don't stand there staring as if he were afraid. Who's the wiser? We're going to pick holes in each other's coats, I suppose.
No, indeed.
Well, very well then, that's enough. Who's the worse for the loss of a few things like these? Not a dead man, I suppose.
No, indeed.
If he wanted to keep him after he was dead, the wicked old screw, why wasn't he natural in his lifetime? If he had been, he'd have somebody to look over him when he was struck with death instead of lying gasping out there alone by himself. It's the truest word that was ever spoke. It's a judgment on him.
Ah, I wish it was a little heavier judgment.
It should have been. You may depend upon it, if I could have laid my hands upon anything else. Open your bundle. Oh, Joel, let me know the value of it in then.
All right, then. Let's see what we got here.
I speak out plain. I'm not afraid to be the first, nor afraid for you to see it. We know pretty well that we were helping ourselves before we met here, I believe. It's no sin.
Open the bundle, Joe.
Spirit, this is disgusting. I cannot look at this. Haven't you anything better to show me?
All right, now let's see now. Old worn shoes, a tin cup, a tattered dressing gown. I always give a little too much to the ladies. It's a weakness of mine. That's the way I ruin myself. I'll give you 3 and 6. And if you asked me for another penny and made an open question, I'd repent of being so liberal and knock off a half a crown. Well, now undo my bundle, Joe. What do you call this? Bed curtains? Ah, bed curtains. You don't mean to say you took them down, rings and all, with him lying there? Oh, yes, I do. Why not? Oh. Rings and all, Spirit? You were born to make your fortune, and you'll certainly do it. I certainly shouldn't hold my hand when I can get anything in it from reaching it out for the sake of a man who is he was. And I promise you, Joe, don't drop that oil upon the blankets now. His blankets? Who else's do you think? Isn't likely to take cold without him now, I dare say. I hope he didn't die of anything catching. Huh? Oh, don't be afraid of that. I ain't so fond of his company that I'd loiter about him for such things if he did. You may look through that shirt till your eyes ache, but you won't find a hole in it, nor a threadbare place. It's the best he had, and a fine one, too. They'd have wasted if they hadn't been for me. What do you call wasted it? Why, putting him on him to be buried, and to be sure. Somebody was fool enough to do it, but I took it off again. If calico ain't good enough for such a purpose, it isn't good enough for anything. It's quite as becoming to his body. He can't look any uglier than he did in that one. This is the end of it, you see. He frightened everyone away from him when he was alive to profit us when he was dead.
Spirit, tell me, who is this man that died? Is there no one to mourn this poor creature? No one to follow him to his grave? Let me see some of the tenderness connected with the death, or that dark chamber, Spirit, which we left just now, will be forever present to me. Spirit, why have you brought me here again? Here to Bob Cratchit's home? But it's not the same. Why is it so quiet? Why is it so very quiet here?
He shall cover thee with feathers, and under his wings shall thou trust. The truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, or the arrow that flieth by day, nor the pestilence that waketh the that walketh the darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall by thy side, and 10,000 at the right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall be no evil before thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he gave his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all the ways, because he hath set his love upon thee. Therefore I will deliver him, and I will set him on high, because he hath known me by name. He shall call upon me, and I shall answer him, and I will be no trouble. I will deliver him, and honor him. Shall I stop reading, Mother?
My son, my poor son, Tiny Tim, I loved him so.
Oh, dear mother, you mustn't. It's almost time for father to be home. Don't let him see you crying.
Yes, Martha. Yes. Yes, Martha.
He's late tonight. He walks slower than he used to. And yet, I've known him to walk very fast indeed, with Tiny Tim on his shoulder. So have I, Mother. Ah, but he was so light to carry. His father loved him so that it was no trouble. No trouble at all. Bob! Good evening, my dear. You're late, Bob. Yes, well, I'm sorry, my dear. I went to the churchyard today. I wish you could have gone with me. It would have done your heart good to see how sweet and a green place that it is. But you'll see it often. I promised him. Yes, I promised Tiny Tim that we'd walk there on a Sunday. It's God's will, Bob. I'm trying to understand it, my dear. My son. My little son. Tiny Tim. I loved him so much. Oh, Spirit. That's cruel. Cruel. Spirit, can't you give me one ray of hope that I may change all that? That Tiny Tim may live? Spirit, where are we now? Merciful heaven, a churchyard, overrun by grass and weeds, and choked up with too much burying desolate, lonely, crumbling gravestones. Spirit, before I draw near to that gravestone, answer me one question. Are these shadows of things that will be? Or are they shadows that may be only? Huh? Will you not speak to me, Spirit? What is this grave to which you point? Ah. There's writing on the stone. That name on the gravestone is... Ebenezer Scrooge. Oh. Ebenezer Scrooge. Oh. Ebenezer Scrooge. No. No. No, Spirit. No. Hear me. I am not the man I was. Why show me this? If I am past all hope. Tell me that I could change these dreadful shadows that you have shown me by an altered life. I will honor Christmas in my heart. I'll try to keep it all year. I'll live in the past, in the present, and the future. And I'll not shut out the season that they teach. Tell me, Spirit. Oh, go on. Tell me. Tell me that I could sponge away the writing on this stone, Spirit. I beg you, Spirit. I beg you.
Stay 5. The end.
Spirit, I promise. I promise on my knees. I promise. I promise. I promise. I. What's this? My old bedpost. I'm home. I'm home, Spirit. In my own bed. In my own room. And God bless you, and send you a happy new year. And the sun is shining. It's clear, it's bright, there are no clouds. Oh, what a beautiful day. Oh, it's so glorious. It's so glorious. Oh, boy, boy.
Yes, sir.
What's the day?
What's that, sir?
What day is it, my fine fellow?
Why, today? Why, it's Christmas Day.
Christmas Day. Then I haven't missed it. The spirits, they've done it all in one night. All in one night. Oh, heaven praised.
How's that, sir?
Oh. Listen, my lad. Do you know where the porter is? In the next street.
Why, yes, sir.
I should say I do. An intelligent boy. A remarkable boy. Tell me, do you know? Have they sold the prize turkey that was hanging in the window?
The one as big as me?
Yes. Oh, what a delightful boy. What a delightful boy. It's a pleasure to have talked to you. Yes, my buck.
It's hanging there now, sir.
Oh, that's wonderful. Now, go around, will you? And tell them to send it to Bob Cratchit and his family on Broad Street. And mind you, they're not to know who paid for it. Huh? Now, go along. Hurry, my lad. Here. Wait a minute. Here's half a crown for your trouble.
Yes, sir. And Merry Christmas, sir.
Merry Christmas to you, my boy. Oh, I don't know what to do. I'm as light as a feather. I'm as happy as an angel. I'm as merry as a schoolboy. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas to everyone. And a happy new year to the world. Oh, my dear sirs, how do you do?
I beg your pardon?
Aren't you the gentleman who came to my office in regard to that charity?
Why, yes, sir.
Well, a Merry Christmas to you!
Yes, sir.
Allow me to ask your pardon, sirs. And you will have the goodness to accept... I prefer to whisper this...
Lord bless me. My dear Mr. Scrooge, are you serious?
If you please, I want to give you one... and not a farthing less. A great many back payments are included in it, I assure you.
Huh? Will you do this me a favor? Will you do me this favor? My dear sir, I do not know what to say to such a magnificent contribution.
Oh, don't say anything, please. Just come and see me, will you? Will you both come and see me?
We will, sir. We will indeed. And thank you, sir.
Oh, thank you. I am much obliged to you. And I thank you 50 times. Yes, I do. Bless you, and Merry Christmas. And now, I believe, I've gone upon my nephew's home. I should just ring the bell. Is your husband at home, my dear? You are my nephew's betrothed, are you not?
Yes, Uncle Scrooge.
Where is he, my love?
He's in the sitting room along with some friends. I'll show you in if you please.
Thank you. Thank you, my dear sweet girl. And then he said that Christmas was a humbug. And as I lived, he believed it.
Fred.
Why? Bless my soul! Who's that?
It's I, your Uncle Scrooge.
It's your Uncle Scrooge!
I've come as you asked. Will you let me in, Fred?
Let you in? Well, yes, Uncle, of course. Bless you and Merry Christmas, Uncle! And may I officially introduce my wife, Bess.
Oh, my dear. You are a sight for old tired eyes. You undoubtedly make my nephew very happy. And for that, you are blessed in my heart. Oh, Uncle Scrooge. Dear, dear Uncle Scrooge.
The next morning, Scrooge was early at his office. He went early for a reason. If he could only be there first and catch Bob Cratchit coming late. That was the thing that he had set his heart upon. And he did it. Oh, yes, he did. The clock struck 9. No Bob. 9:15. No Bob. Scrooge sat with his door wide open that he might see him come in. At last he came. His hat was off before he opened the door. His comforter, too. He was on his stool in a jiffy, driving away with his pen as if he were trying to overtake 9 o'clock. 8:15, 21. 6, 1, 24. 2, 31, 8, 9.
Hello, you, Cratchit.
Yes, sir.
Cratchit, what do you mean by coming in at this time of day?
Oh, I am sorry, sir. I am behind my time.
Yes, you are. I think you are. I know you are.
It's only once a year, Mr. Scrooge, and it shall not be repeated. I was making rather merry myself yesterday.
I'll tell you what, my friend. I will not stand for this sort of thing any longer. And therefore, Bob Cratchit, I am about to raise your salary.
Mr. Scrooge, are you quite yourself, sir?
No. No, thank heaven. I am not myself. Merry Christmas, Bob. Merry Christmas, my good fellow. A merrier Christmas than I have given you in many a year. I shall raise your salary and we shall see what we can do for Tiny Tim and the rest of your family, huh? And we'll discuss it this very afternoon over a Christmas bowl of smoking bishop. Bob,
make up the fire, huh?
Make up the fire, yes, 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 yes. Make it up and buy another coal scuttle before you can dot another I. Go on and do it, Bob Cratchit.
And Scrooge was better than his word. He did it all, and infinitely more. And as for Tiny Tim, who did not die, he was a second father, and he became as good a friend, as good a master, and as good a man as the good old city ever knew, or any other good old city, town, or borough in the good old world. Some people laugh to see the alteration in him, but he let them laugh and little heeded them. His own heart laughed. That was quite enough for him. He had no further intercourse with spirits, but lived upon the total abstinence principle ever afterwards, and it was always said of him that he knew how to keep Christmas well. And if any man alive possessed the knowledge, may that be truly said of all of us. And so, as Tiny Tim observed, God bless us, everyone. Well, that was my Christmas gift to you, my one-man version of A Christmas Carol by Charles Dickens. One of my favorites of all time, and hopefully it's one of yours. And what a great story, and I really had a great time performing that for you, and I hope that once again you will perhaps listen to it again, maybe even every year, as a way to
enjoy your Christmas holiday. Merry Christmas, Happy New Year from Elton Jim. Jim Tarano. I ain't here on business. I'm always here for fun. May you have a great holiday season. And don't forget that this is the only website from the end of your Christmas web to the end of your Christmas screen. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Let's have a great 2019 together. Enjoy.